Kids.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, nice day.
It's the preview show. It's the No Nay Never podcast.
Hello and welcome to the preview show brought to you by the No Nay Never podcast. I am your regular host, Natalie Bromley, but joining me as ever is the headliner himself, the main man, Dave Statman Roberts. Dave, welcome back.
Hello, Natalie. Good to be back. And I hope all our listeners are keeping track of all these games because we're struggling to keep up, aren't we?
Honestly, I think it only really occurred to me today that we're so close to the end of the season as well. It's like it's very all over the place. But you've got to give everybody credit. There's some real adaptability going on, isn't there? People are just finding different ways to operate and just get from A to B in a day and realize that I don't know about you, Dave, but I've stopped worrying about anything that's further than about 24 hours in advance. Wake up and go, right, what's happening today? What day is it? Where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to go? And what's happening in the next 24 hours? And you tend to get there, don't you? Well, before we go into the preview show, Dave, of course, we've got a fantastic point away at Anfield to discuss from Saturday, which is what's happened since our listeners last caught up with us in our last preview show. Despite a pretty hefty dose of Kraus bingo from the players this time from Liverpool, it's usually the Liverpool fans that are particularly troublesome with that, but the Liverpool players this time have been particularly difficult. But ignoring all of that nonsense and that noise, what a fantastic point. I didn't think we'd ever get to a point where we got something out of Anfield.
We did really well, didn't we? Yeah, I mean, a draw is nearly as good as a win, bearing in mind their record. They'd won all 17 previous home league games this season. They'd won the last six of last season as well, so they're on a run of 23 consecutive league wins. So to get a draw was a magnificent result, and we weathered the storm a little bit in the first half, came back into it in the second half, and nabbed a point and could possibly have had all three. Effort against the crossbar, and it might have been very different. But I think, yes, we were very happy with the point.
Yeah, I think it's even more impressive as well when you remember that this team shouldn't really have anything else to play for. I know we're an outside chance of Europe, which is probably gone now with the news coming out of the Etihad today that City have had that bat overturned. Excuse me. And it's such a threadbare squad, Dave. You'd think they'd have given up by now.
We don't. We're relentless, though. We carry on. And I think there have been one or two times in previous seasons where a little bit later in the season, the last two or three games, there's been perhaps a little bit of let up. But there certainly hasn't been so far. We've only got three games left to play. And all credit to the manager and the players for coming back after the restart and doing so well for them.
Yeah. I do think the restart has had a big impact on this. I mean, we were pretty much safe. We weren't mathematically safe, but I think I don't think somebody will go down on 39 points this year for sure. So we were pretty safe anyway. And like you say, in some seasons when we've not had anything to play for, we've kind of had a really poor end to a season where you can forgive the players from just being able to put the feet up and enjoy the last few games without the pressure. And I think that's fair in previous seasons, given just how hard Dyche works his players through the season and just what he demands from them. So I think when you've genuinely not got anything to play for, it's pretty hard to ask them to go hell for leather, isn't it, towards the end of the season. But I do think that he's very much treating this end of season very much as a pre-season. He looks like he's getting them ready for next season, doesn't he? There's not going to be a huge break in between the two seasons. It genuinely looks like he's really making them get mentally fit. What do you make of this news coming out City, Dave? Do you think that's genuinely it now for us for Europe? I can't see how this is going to happen. I think you're going to have to finish seventh, aren't you, to get a European spot?
Yeah, that is still possible. I think if, maybe even two wins and a draw, depending on other results, might be possibly enough for that. So we'll have to wait and see how it goes elsewhere. We can just do the best we can, just win as many as we can of the remaining games and, going into the last game of the season, have something to play for. That'd be really good on the last Sunday of the season, which, as we say, isn't that far off. We've got a game this Wednesday, the Wolves game. We've got a game on Saturday, and then we've got an 8-day break, haven't we, before the last game of the season on the Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know genuinely how I feel about Europe. I think, of course, it would be amazing to be in Europe, and to get there twice in the space of 3 seasons would just be amazing. And pushing for Europe every year and playing in the Europa League is where I want us to be as a club. It really genuinely is. It just, in all reality, it feels like a little bit of a blessing in disguise if we don't make it, just because we're just not there yet in terms of infrastructure and personnel and just being able to battle two battle fronts at the same time. And it just feels like it would just be a stretch too far, particularly given how low we are on numbers at the moment as well. So I genuinely would really love it. And if it happened, I'd embrace it and I'd be delighted. But I'm not going to lose too much sleep if it doesn't happen. I think that's where I've got to with that. So before we move on to the preview game then, Dave, we obviously need to address last week's quiz question. Now, for our Liverpool preview show, we asked our listeners, Ashley Barnes scored Burnley's goal at Anfield in a 2-1 defeat in March 2017. But prior to that, who had been the last Burnley player to score against Liverpool at Anfield, and what was the year? Over to you, Dave.
Well, the correct answer to that one was Peter Noble. He'd scored in a 1-1 draw in a League Cup third round tie, and that was back in October 1975. And after 8 matches without scoring any away goals at Anfield, that was in between that game in 1975 and the one we mentioned in the question, the one where Scott Arfield scored in March 2017, Burnley have since scored on all of the last 4 visits. And got a couple of draws in there as well. And we did just have the one correct answer, I believe.
Yeah, it was Rob Thomas, wasn't it? Who got it? He was the last one. He was the only one who gave a correct answer. So well done, Rob. We do still need to think about our end of season quiz, you know, Dave. See if we can get our quiz masters on head-to-heads. That'd be good. Rob Thomas versus John Robertson, I think.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
Name, wasn't it? That would be good. Yeah. They're our main two. There are a couple of other regular contributors as well, so we'll have to try and get them in as well. That would be great. Let's think about that offline. Well, of course, we're going to have another quiz question for you at the end of this week's show. So we're just going to have a quick run through all the opposition stats first to get us to that point.
Opposition stats.
So, Wolverhampton Wanderers at home. In an empty turf moor, which still breaks my heart. Wednesday the 15th of July at 6 p.m. And we have a weird split viewing going on Wednesday. We are watching the first half on BBC Two. And then we are switching channels at half-time. They like switching ends. And we are going to BBC One for the second half. So,
there's a third way. You could watch it on the red button and then you don't have to switch.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, well, I didn't realise because what was the last... I can't remember what the last game the BBC had. They've had a couple of Premier League games. And I think I was watching the second one. I had the red button on so I could get rid of the fake crowd noise, which annoys me.
I love it.
It came up and now you've got to switch channel. I was kind of in the other room doing something else while it was half time and thought, oh, I've not changed channel. And then the second half started. And I thought, oh, that's good. And I realised it was because I was on the red button. I didn't have to change channel. So that might be a tip for anyone for Wednesday.
That is amazing. Look at that. We're such a public service. We just give. That's all that happens. What has happened then, Dave, since the last time we met? Well, not you and me, us and Wolves.
Yeah, that's a lot more recent than that. We've got to go all the way back until the end of August last year for the reverse fixture between Wolves and Burnley. And it was both teams' third Premier League match of the season. And we thought that Burnley had earned all 3 points at Molineux with a 13th-minute goal from Ashley Barnes. He scored a long-distance strike, if you remember, from about 25 yards out. And it was a last-minute penalty that was awarded. Eric Peters was adjudged to have fouled Raul Jimenez, and following a VAR review, the penalty stood. And it was Jimenez himself who stepped up and converted the spot kick, and that was in the 7th minute of time added on at the end of the game. And that was to earn an unfortunate point for the hosts. Wolves had lost their first 2 matches of the season, but following... Actually, have they done? No, maybe they haven't. They had a poor start to the season.
They definitely had a poor start to the season, but they've
had a very good season since then, and they currently stand in sixth position.
They do, because they were being tarred with the Europa League curse again, weren't they? People saying that it was an absolute poison chalice to get in there. But no, as it turns out, they've balanced that really, really well. And they could end up winning the Europa League, you know, which would just be phenomenal.
Yeah,
amazing.
They're slow, so I think they might have drawn the first three games, actually thinking about it. And they were winning in Europe, and then they went on from that and built. And it didn't seem to affect them, certainly in the way it affected us when we got into Europe. But obviously, Wolves have got the bigger, stronger squad, and it's served them well.
Yeah, it really has. So moving matters onto the pitch then, Dave, what's been the heaviest Burnley defeat at Turf Moor against Wolves?
Well, they've come away from Turf Moor with a win by a margin of 4 goals on 2 separate occasions. The first such time was their very first league visit. That's going way, way back to October 1888, when they were 4-0 winners. But slightly more recently than that, they won 5-1 at Turf Moor. Still going back a while, that was November 1975. That season, Burnley were relegated from the top flight, and as we all know, we didn't return for another 33 years.
Excellent. Well, on a more positive note then, what about Burnley's biggest win at home to Wolves?
Well, this is one of those rare occasions when Burnley's biggest home win is inferior to the biggest margin of victory for the visitors. We've won 5 times against Wolves by a margin of 3 goals, but never more than that. The most recent of those is going back a while again. That was back to an FA Cup third round tie in January 1970. Second half goals from Martin Dobson, Frank Casper and Brian O'Neill sent the Claret safely through to meet Chelsea in the fourth round.
Okay. And then finally, 2 questions in 1. Burnley's last win and what happened last season?
Yeah, well, we played Wolves at Turf Moor at the end of March 2019. That was the last time they were up here. A second-minute own goal from Wolves captain Connor Cody and a 77th-minute strike from Dwight McNeil ensured that the 3 points stayed at Turf Moor as the Claret sealed a vital win to stretch the gap between ourselves and the bottom three, with 6 games of the season remaining.
Brilliant. And what about some head-to-head stats then, please, Dave?
Yeah, we've got some of those prepared. Our match history against our next opponents, as we mentioned, goes all the way back to 1888, as both teams were founder members of the Football League. Our all-time home record against Wolves in all competitions stands at played 66. We've won 25 of those, drawn 18 and lost 23. That gives us a win percent of 37.9%. And that's actually the lowest.
That's low.
That's low, yeah. Mm. That's the lowest of all the other 19 teams. I did tweet this out actually earlier today just with the comparison. Norwich City were the best. We've got 16 home wins out of 22 meetings. That's 72.7%. The average is round about 50%, as we do say when we play the home games. And Wolves at 37.9% is the worst of the lot. So they've had a fairly good time at Turf Moor in years past. And when we look at top flight home matches only, it's slightly better, but not by much. We've played 38 times. Burnley have had 15 wins. There've been 11 draws and 12 defeats. That's a win percentage of 39.5%. And this will actually be Burnley's third home Premier League match against Wolves. We've lost one. That was in 2009-10, the first season we got promoted to the Premier League. And we've won one of them. That was last season that we've already mentioned. And that's our only two previous home games in the Premier League era.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get some points this week then and make those stats look a little bit better. So who's going to help us with that, Dave? Who is going to be our referee?
Well, if you're thinking it doesn't seem a long time since we last welcomed Mike Dean for a Burnley match, you'd be right. He's been back since the restart. He was at Turf Moor just a couple of weeks ago, actually. He took charge of the visit of Watford on the 25th of June, and this Wednesday will be the 45th Burnley match he's refereed and the 23rd at this level. The very experienced Wirral-based official does send players off from time to time, as we know. And in fact, there are 3 past games in which we've seen him brandish his red card. And curiously, in each of these games, 2 players were dismissed. So the 3 occurrences were back in September 2002. He sent off Bradford City's Mark Bower and Danny Cademartri at Valley Parade. But after trailing, and then we were leading 2-1 late in the game after the sendings off, Burnley conceded a late goal passing it around to the back. City scored and we drew 2-2. In the 2009 Championship playoff final at Wembley, of course, he dismissed Sheffield United's Jamie Ward late in the game with about 10 minutes to play. And then he also sent off Lee Hendry after the final whistle as Burnley gained promotion to the Premier League. And then the third occurrence was back in January 2019. He sent off Huddersfield Town's Christopher Schindler in the first half and then also sent off Burnley's Robbie Brady late in the game in an away game that Burnley won 2-1.
Goodness me, that was a comprehensive summary of our ref. I only asked who referee was, now I'm joking. That was great. I love it. I didn't mean to say to you that a few weeks ago, actually. I do like it when we get a bit of extra bump around a referee and some good referee stats there. The good ones.
Celebrity fans!
Okay, then finally, then my favourite section, and let's see how many very tenuous Twitter followers you get in this one this week, because there's been one every single week where I'm just like, no, I'm not having that, is of course, Dave, our celebrity fans.
Well, yeah, there's a couple, actually. But yeah, going through, we're going to list seven famous Wolverhampton Wanderers fans who've been handpicked this week, and we've listed them once again in ascending order of Twitter followers. So you decide how impressive these seven are. We've got, first of all, singer and musician Clint Mansell. He's a former frontman of a band Pop Will Eat Itself and is more latterly a composer of film scores. He's got 52,000 Twitter followers. Mark Rhodes from television presenting duo Sam and Mark.
Verified.
Were they?
I know that's
Pop Idol, were they on?
Yes.
So doesn't have his own Twitter account, but there's a joint one, Sam and Mark TV. That's got 105,000 followers. Next up is singer Beverly Knight. She has got 122,000 followers.
This is where I stop becoming believers. really?
yeah. Led Zeppelin frontman Robert Plant, he's got 270,000 followers. Broadcaster and journalist Susie Perry, impressive one. She's got 352,000 followers. And then two that are perhaps a little bit more tenuous. Certainly got a story for a couple of these. Actor Mark Hamill, who was Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars film saga.
Get out of here.
He's got 3.8 million followers. The story to this one is that apparently it was tweeted by some a Wolves fan to say whether he liked wolves. And he replied to say, yes, he did, thinking it was the animal. And not the football team. And apparently he gained about 5,000 followers in a day from all these Wolves fans piling on thinking, oh, yeah, it's great. Luke Skywalker's a Wolves fan.
He is not a Wolves fan. No. Well, he is a Wolves fan, but not in the context of the previous show.
And finally, former boxer Mike Tyson.
He's
got 5.5 million followers.
Mike Tyson is not a Wolves fan. Go on. What's your story?
I've not got a big story on this one. There were one or two. There was another one with Andy Murray as well. That was apparently his tennis coach, David Lloyd, is a Wolves fan. And apparently there were pictures of Andy Murray playing tennis in a Wolves top, which actually had his name on the back as well. But I think it was his coach who got it for him. So, yeah, some of these can be a little bit tenuous, but they're...
Really? All right, well, let's move on then, and let's not leave our listeners hanging there. Let's give them a bit of a treat. We're getting towards the business end of the season. Why don't we get you to delve into that bank of Statman Dave and give us your miscellaneous stat of the week.
Statman Dave's stat of the week.
Okay, well, the stat of the week this week is Burnley have lost just one of seven meetings with Wolves, that's home and away, since Sean Dyche took over as manager in 2012. This includes being unbeaten in three games so far at Turf Moor. Wolves were the visitors for Sean Dyche's first ever game in charge of the Claretts back in October 2012, and we won 2-0 that day. And then following on from that, we had a 1-1 draw in March 2016, and they were also opponents for Sean Dyche's 300th game as Burnley manager, which was also a 2-0 win in March 2019. That was the match we highlighted earlier, and our last home meeting and our last home win.
Excellent. That is a good stat of the week. So what are we thinking then about the game? This is going to be a tough ask for us, isn't it, I think?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I saw Wolves against, I saw the highlights of them against Everton, and they looked very impressive against Everton. Maybe a poor Everton side, but Wolves certainly put that game to bed and deserved the margin of victory that they got. So, yeah, as an attacking force, they look a really, really strong side. Maybe they'll come up against a different proposition against the Burnley side. Maybe they'll be a little bit more resolute, hopefully, than Everton were defensively, certainly. So it's a difficult game. We know they've had a really, really good season. They've not done as well since the break, but they've kept up there. They're in sixth place as it stands, I think, and they are certainly going to get European football again, you would think, for next season. And yeah, it's a really tough ask for us. I think I'm sitting on the fence again. I've done it once or twice in these recent preview shows. I'm going to predict a 1-1 draw for Wednesday.
I don't know how I feel about it. It's really difficult. It's very hard to write this side off at the moment because I keep thinking that we've got a point away at Anfield, so there's absolutely no reason why we can't get at least a point at home to Wolves. It's just the problem is that some of these games are still for teams that they're going to want to really push on, aren't they? I'm going to go for a draw again, but it wouldn't surprise me either if we get beat. If we get beat, or I suppose it won't surprise me if we get beat, but it won't surprise me if we win either, because I think this team is...
You're keeping your options open there.
Moment. Yeah, you know what? I predict, and how is this for a bold statement, I predict we're either going to draw, win or lose. You just can't...
You're here for your insight, obviously.
Yeah, you can't buy that level of analysis. You know what I mean? It's like for a free podcast, what do people expect? Excellent. Well, let us know what your predictions are, guys. If you're listening to this before the game, tweet us or send us an email. You know how to get in touch with us and let us know what you think the Clarets will do against Wolves.
Fantasy Premier League update.
And then finally, then, we're going to close out this week's show, as we tend to do, with firstly a visit to the Fantasy Premier League, and then secondly, this edition's quiz question. So, Dave, game week 35, it is still in progress at the moment, but obviously at the point that we are recording this preview show, but we did not do anything. Dave remembered to take a note of the table at the end of game week 34, which was prior to the weekend's game. If you remember, Dave and I had a very quick turnaround of preview shows and we couldn't quite get it in to be able to give you an update. So, which is what it says on our show notes, and I we took snapshots. So Dave, talk us through the movers and the shakers. Now we really are very close to the end.
We are, we're getting very close now, and we've got 8 teams who've passed the magic 2,000 points mark, and with a big gap of over 40 points between 8th and 9th place, I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think the winner now for our league is going to come from one of those 8 teams at the top, and we will name check them. The managers are in reverse order from 8th to 1st. Tom Mitchum, Joshua Bedgood, Tall Paul, Rob Greenwood, Michael Freeman, Max Robinson, John Sutcliffe, and still in the lead is Bennett Howarth. And interestingly, the gap at the top, since we last mentioned the league, has closed to just 9 points, and there's just 80 points in total separating these 8 teams. So I think it might come down at the end of it to see who's got any of their chips left, their bonus chips. If they've got any options for their bench boost they haven't used yet or anything like that. So we'll have to wait and see whether that has an impact on the season with just 3 games left to play.
Excellent. Well, it's very exciting, actually. I think I know 2 people in those top 8. They're friends of mine. I know Tall Paul. And I also know his name is completely, he's going to absolutely kill me when I remember it, Rob Greenwood. I was going to call it, because I had Tall Paul in my head, then I was like, Paul Greenwood, no, Rob Greenwood, is it Espinacolada? That's the one, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
So I know both of those. So I am rooting for one of those 2 to win it. They would be my favourites. What about the dream team then, Dave?
We did really well. We were delighted to see 3 Burnley players in the game week 34 dream team. That was Nick Pope, Charlie Taylor and Jay Rodriguez. They all made the grade and a place in the best 11 of the week. And they were joined by Sheffield United's John Egan, Bournemouth's Diego Rico, Liverpool's Mo Salah, Manchester City's David Silva, Watford's Danny Welbeck, Willian of Chelsea, as well as Manchester United's Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba. But as we say, we are still in the middle of, well, we're at the end of game week 35, but the tables and everything haven't been updated yet. So we'll bring an update on that. Trying to think on timings. Yeah, we'll probably only be able to do that one. We'll be in the middle of the next one when we do the next preview, I would imagine, depending on the timings of that.
Excellent. Where are we? Am I?
You're still in the bottom three, yes.
No, I can't finish in the bottom three.
You can.
No. I can't. I'll do something with those things. Well, I did try to do something last week, didn't I?
You're going to use your bench boost, but all your other players were injured.
Oh, that was it.
You do. By the way, you do know if you've got injured players, you can, for a penalty of 4 points, you can bring in another used extra transfer.
Ah, I didn't know that. That would have been useful about 20 weeks ago. Thanks, Dave. You've not been a team player helping me through this fantasy football. You know, next season I'm gonna be in that top eight.
I've not been very good myself.
Well, this is what I mean. It's like you're still better than me, and I wanted to finish above you, but never mind. Well, we've obviously only got 3 matches left to play, and it looks like it's going to be very nip and tuck, as Dave said, for those who will win the title and the sticker. Don't forget. Actually, I'm in the process of moving house at the moment. I feel like
you've not lost the stickers, have you?
I've packed them away somewhere safe, and I'm not entirely sure which box they've gone in. So whoever wins might have to wait for a small time for the sticker. Obviously, we're going to have another update for you next time, which will be in our previous show ahead of the visit to Carrow to play relegated Norwich City, which is on Saturday.
Statman Dave's quiz question.
And finally, let's close out the show as we always do with this week's quiz question. Take it away, Dave.
Yeah, this week's quiz question is, when Burnley beat Wolves 2-1 at Turf Moor on Boxing Day 2002, it was our first home win against Wolves since a 3-0 victory in the FA Cup in 1970, one we mentioned earlier, which was one of our most recent biggest win. That was a gap of 32 years and 13 games. So what we'd like to know from our listeners is, who was Burnley's manager, and which two players scored Burnley's goals to earn that long-awaited home win against Wolves in 2002?
Ooh, that is a good question. That is a toughie. I'm not sure what that's going to be. I'll have to think about that offline. Well, what's the best way for our listeners to submit their questions, please, Dave?
As always, they can reply or send us a direct message on Twitter. That's at NoNayNever. We can accept emails at podcast@nonayneverpodcast.net. And they can also reply to the post. We'll put a post up on the No Nay Never Facebook page, and they can reply to that. And we will reveal the correct answers at the start of the next preview show.
Excellent. Well, that is all we have time for this. I keep saying week, but they're like twice a week at the moment. Sorry, we've got a bit of background noise going on here. I think Mr. Bromley is tidying up the house while I'm... Oh, he just popped his head through the studio door and mouthed sorry at me. So apologies for a bit of background feedback noise there, listeners. My thanks as always go to firstly producer Matt, which is now always in bold red letters, to remind me not to call him producer Dave, not the best way to keep your producer on side, for giving up his free time to edit this and put it all together for us. A little less chaotic than the last one. Actually, a quick shout out to Duncan, who sits behind me at the football, who I know loves this show, and sent me a message this week really shouting at me and telling me he was going to send me his medical bill because the crash, if you remember last week, when the Daddy Long Legs was falling from the ceiling and producer Matt actually didn't edit it from the show. He said he was quite comfortably jogging along with his earphones in, and I nearly deafened him. So apologies to anybody else who maybe suffered the same fate. But please don't send me all your medical bills because I will not have any money left ever. So thanks, Matt. My biggest thanks as ever are reserved to Dave for just putting in an enormous amount of effort for this preview show. I thoroughly enjoy it every week. It's my favourite part of the week. And thanks to you, the listeners, for downloading and listening and for sticking with us this season as we talk you through all the build up to this next game. We will be back probably towards the end of the week. I think we're probably going to do a show the main show that's going to cover both a Liverpool away and this Wolves at home game. So we will be back at some point during the week. We'll let you know when that is. But otherwise, Dave and I will be back as usual for the next preview show. So do tune in and we will let you know. Stay safe, everybody. Enjoy the game. This has been the preview show brought to you by the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time.